If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And while you're turning there, preaching to an empty sanctuary kind of reminds me of the time I was preaching down in Jamaica. We were building a church there up in the mountains of Christiana. And Pastor Gary asked me if I would like to do a little street evangelism. I said, sure, let's do it. So I grabbed my guitar and we grabbed the sound system and we drove back and went out in the bush. And we drove for a while and came down to this little dirt road. And the only thing there was one big, huge street light. No houses around that I could see. It was pitch dark. And Pastor Gary said, well, let's pray. Play your guitar a little bit and let's preach. And I said, well, Pastor Gary, there's no one out there. He said, oh, they're out there. You just can't see them. And as I picked up my guitar and sang a few songs with our praise team, I began to preach. And after I finished preaching, I asked, is there anybody out there that wants to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? If you have something in your life you want something to be prayed about for? Within about 2 or 3 seconds, hundreds and hundreds of porch lights came on. And I knew that the Lord had moved. And today, even though I can't see you, I know that you're out there. And I'm asking you to turn on the porch light today. Let your light shine in such a way that your neighbors and your friends will see that Jesus Christ rules and reigns in your life. The title of my message is, What Time Is It? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. So what time is it, church? I asked my 95-year-old neighbor who's been through a lot. She's been through the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War. She's been through all these tragedies. She's been through all kinds of viruses, the Hong Kong flu, the swine flu, AIDS, the polio epidemic. She's been through all these different things. And I asked her, have you ever seen a time like this? And she said, no, Dave, I've never seen a time like this in my whole life. And I just encouraged her. I said, even though we've never seen anything like this, God is still in control. So what time is it? Is it time to hide and run? Is there time to give up and die? Or is it a time to stand and fight? I believe with all our hearts and souls and minds, it's time to stand and fight. Even though we can't see this invisible giant, God is still there. So how do we fight this invisible giant? How do we fight this virus? How do we overcome the evil one? The first thing that we have to do, it's time to get back to God. For many, many years, a lot of us have put other things before God. We put our vacations, we put our leisure time, we put our jobs, we put our bank accounts before God. And you realize that as those things begin to be taken away from us, they're not that important anyway. Only what we do for God will last for eternity. It's time to run to Him. And you may say, well, Brother Dave, I'm far from God. God can't forgive me. Don't believe that lie one bit. Our God is a great transforming God. He can do whatever He wants to do. Our God can save you today. No matter what sin you may have committed, God can forgive. He can transform your life. And if you're out there today, and I know many of you are out there, and you're far from God, you haven't put God first in your life in years, today is the day to come back to God. Today is your day that you put God on the throne again. You know, the way it works is God's first, then family, then all the other things. But over the years, we have decided that, okay, I'll put the other things first, and if I have time, then I'll put God in there. But see, our God is a jealous God. He will not allow that. God has shaken this world to show us that He is supreme. No name is higher than the name of Jesus. We serve no other God but Him. Our God is mighty. But I'm here today to tell you, but God has a plan. His plan is not to kill you or harm you. Jeremiah 29 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." As we run back to God, God does great and mighty things in our life. He shows us how much He really loves us. That's why He went to the cross, to show us His love. Because we had no hope, we had no way out. But when God came into the picture, He laid down His life that we may have hope, that we may have life. And if you're here today, I'm here today to tell you that there's nothing God can't conquer. Run to Him today. Put Him first. Don't put Him second or third. Put God first in your life. Make Him the most important thing in your life, because really, He is the most important thing in your life. It's amazing how things have been taken away from us, our leisure time, our vacations, our cruises, our bank accounts, our house. Some people are low on food. We realize that the only thing we have left is God. And I'm here today to tell you that as you run back to God, He will take you in His loving arms. He'll pick you up. He will carry you through. But you have to be close to Him. You can't be far from God. It says in this word, draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things that we are so concerned about will be added unto us." But the first thing we have to do is seek after God. So this morning, how far are you from God? Are you close? I don't know about you, but in the last 3 or 4 weeks, my prayer life has gone way up. My Bible reading has gone way up, because I realize that the only way I'm going to get through this is through God. For God has the answer. Many times we run to our family, friends, government. And I can tell you, they're good things to run to, but they don't have the answer. No one has the answer. Have you ever heard of a virus that you can be carrying it and you're not sick? I've never heard that before. And it's amazing how some people get it and it kills them. And other people don't even know they have it. This thing is from the pit of hell. And if we're going to defeat this virus, we've got to run to God, because only He can defeat this. Man can't defeat it. You can wash your hands 1,000 times, put on all the masks you want, but without God's help, you will be conquered. You will lose out then in the battle. But our God is mighty. Our God is mighty to save. So put Him first. He's the most important thing in this world. What's the second thing that we have to do? What time is it? It's time once again to put our trust in God. Trust in Him with all your heart. You know, it's not just enough to go to God. We have to trust Him for the answer. I love what King David said. He said this to the nation of Israel. He said, "Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of the Lord." Are you trusting in the name of the Lord this morning? If you're trusting in any other name, you will be let down. I can guarantee you that. But when you put your trust in God, He never lets you down. He's always there for you. He's always there to carry you through. Over the last couple weeks, I've been in a lot of houses. I've been in a lot of homes. And there's one thing in common in every one of those homes I go into. It's fear. People are afraid. They're afraid of catching the virus. They're afraid of giving it to their kids. They're afraid of getting sick. They're afraid of losing their house. They're afraid of not being able to buy groceries. They're afraid of losing their job. There's a lot of fear out there. But I'm telling you, when you go to God, He drives away the fear. It tells us in Isaiah, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by your name. You are mine." Isn't it great to know that God knows us by name? He will not let you down. Trust in the Lord. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." How has your path been going in the last couple of days, or in the last week or two? Up and down, left and right. We're not sure which way to turn. But I'm here today to tell you that when you put your trust and your hope and your being in God, He never lets you down. Why should we trust God? Because He's never lost the battle. He's always there for you. God will save you. God will deliver you. God will see you through this. And see, this is not just affecting the United States. This is affecting the whole world. It's time for the world to turn to God, the true and living God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He's the one that can deliver us. Do you know His name? Do you put your trust in Him? I hope so. I love what King David said. He said these words. He said, "I once was young, and I can testify to that. But now I'm old, and I can testify to that." But he said this, "I have never, ever seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread." God will see you through this. God is the answer. So put your trust in Him today. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust God like never before. And what's the third thing that we need to do? It's time, church, to start believing. It's not enough just to go to God and trust God. It's time to start believing for the miracles. You've heard it said time and time again. Where are the miracles in the church today? How come I don't see the healings? How come I don't see the miracles? They're all around us. You know, I think over 34,000 people have died from this virus in the United States as of today. But look at the hundreds of thousands of people that God has healed, that He's taken out of the hospitals, that He's raised them up. We need to be focusing on that. Our God is mighty. Our God is mighty to save. He's healed people. There's miracles all around us. Don't think that miracles are done away with. Our God is a miracle-working God, but we've got to believe. James says this, "When you ask, we must believe and not doubt." Stop doubting, church. Let's start believing. The world's looking for an answer. The world is looking for hope. And we have the answer, for we have the hope within us. So as your neighbors and your friends are worried to death, you be that hope. You be that light. Let me just say this. I have never seen a time in my lifetime where the people are so open to the gospel. I don't care what house you go into. When you say, "Do you mind if I pray for you today? Ask the blessing upon your house." Everybody says the same thing. "Would you please pray? Pray over my kids? Pray for me?" People are open to the gospel. And it's up to you and me to share the good news. To share the gospel with those. For they're lost without the Lord. We need to be salt and light. Don't be afraid. Run to God. Trust Him. And then once you trust Him, believe. Don't doubt. Believe on God. I love what David said when he was just a little lad. He was getting ready to fight Goliath, the biggest challenge in his life so far. And what did he say to the giant? He said, "You come against me with a spear and a sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, the mighty name of Jesus." And it wasn't too long after he said that, the giant fell, and David cut off his head. Not because David was strong or mighty or the stones were more powerful than a rocket. It was because he came against the giant in the name of the Lord. So what's bothering you today? Go to the name of Jesus. There's nothing he can't do. There's no virus he can't conquer. And if you're out there today and you need salvation, it's time for salvation. It's time for healing. It's time to run back to God. So this morning, as we go to God, begin to love him like never before, as we begin to put our trust and hope in him, as we begin to believe, remember, God has never lost the battle. God will not let you down. There's nothing too difficult for him. We serve a big God. He's a mighty God. He can defeat this virus. And my prayer is that as the church rises up, as we begin to pray, as we begin to fast, as we begin to call out to God, God will hear us. It says that he will hear us as we humble ourselves, and he will heal our land. Our land needs healing today, people. And as we run to God, as we put our trust and hope in him, as we begin to believe and not doubt, you will be amazed what God can do. My prayer is that within the next couple of weeks, this virus will dry up and down, die, and we'll send it right back to hell where it came from. But the church has to arise. We are the answer. We have the answer, church. His name is Jesus. So let's call out to him today. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's believe. And as we do those things, you'll be amazed how fast this thing can be conquered. Let's rise up. Rise up. For there is a time for every season. Because as we do our part, God will do his part. As we call out to him, God won't let you down. He's with you every step of the way. Don't be afraid, for God is with you. I love what Moses said to the people of Israel when it looked like they were trapped. Mountains to the left, mountains to the right, the Red Sea in behind them or in front of them, Pharaoh's army is coming down to kill them, to conquer them. And Moses said this. He said, fear not, for the Lord will deliver us today. And he even went a little bit farther. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see again. And wow, what a day that was. The Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry land. And then Pharaoh did the dumbest thing in the possible. He decided to pursue them instead of running away. He decided to pursue them, and then God closed up the gap. And they all drowned in the Red Sea. We serve a great God. He's a miracle-working God. When you think he's not working, like the song says, he is still working. When you don't see the miracles, he's still doing miracles. Our God can deliver us. And I like to close with this story. In our church, we support this missionary. His name is Dale Coates. We've been supporting him for a couple years now. And I've gone on a lot of mission trips with Dale. We've built a lot of churches in the Caribbean. And in 2010, he was visiting his son in Pennsylvania. His son is a youth pastor, our children's pastor up in Pennsylvania. And in 2010, his son he was violently sick, had pains all over his body. So Dale, being there, took him to the hospital. They did all kinds of tests on this young man. Dale came home, and about 15, 20 minutes later, they got the phone call. His son was still in the hospital. He said his wife walked into the room, and she said these words, "Our son has cancer. There's no hope. It's terminal." And Brother Dale said, at first, he was fearful. But then faith began to rise up in him. And he said, this will not lead to death. I put my trust and hope in Jesus. And of course, they went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him the same diagnosis that this type of cancer, which is very rare, he says, if we do chemo, most likely within a year or so, it'll come back and it will kill him the second time. But they decided to do chemo anyway. So the first chemo treatment went okay. Second one went okay. Third one went fine. Then they did the PET scan. The PET scan said that the chemo treatments didn't do much of anything. The tumor was still there. The cancer was still in his body. And he had two more treatments to go. And Dale said they began to cry out to God. They began to call everybody they could call. They called the churches. They called the pastors in the Caribbean. They called everybody they could call. And the church rose up. And after the fourth treatment, they decided to do another PET scan. And after the fourth treatment, there was not one trace of cancer in his body. Now, the doctors would tell you that the chemo killed him or cured him. That's not true. I believe the prayers of the saints, prayers of the church, raised him up that day. That's what cured him. That's what saved his life. And even though after that, the doctor said, now listen, within a year or two, this cancer will come back after the chemo treatments and he will die. They were 100% positive that the cancer would come back. Here we are 10 years later, no cancer, still cancer free. And this summer, Lord willing, he's going to be doing our children's church. Or he'll be doing a VBS for us. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. He is a miracle working God. So no matter what you need today, no matter what you need healing, God can heal. You need salvation, it's time to be time to come to the Lord. Salvation is out there for you. Whatever you need, our God is able. So trust him. Run to him. Trust him and believe. And watch God do the miracle.